Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you have put into Helen's heart to share with us this morning. I just pray that you would open our ears and hearts to hear the message that you want to bring to us this morning about how we can respond to the difficulties that we see going on in our world. And Lord, I just ask that we might leave today with a sense of your hope. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Am I loud enough? Loud but not too loud, that's the aim. So, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The story of God making the earth is portrayed by the Hebrew writers of the poem at the beginning of the Bible as God making a garden. And out of a place of darkness and chaos, God brings to life a beautiful world of sky and land and sea and plants and creatures. And he declares that it's good. And as we know in this story so well, he then brings people to life. He declares his creation very good. And this garden, that's our garden, so not to be confused with the Garden of Eden. it's needing a bit of attention, actually, as autumn wears on. But this first garden is a place where God is present with his creation, with the people that he's created. It's a place where God's space, that we sometimes call heaven, and the earth are united. They're completely overlapping. And people, the human beings that God's made, are given the role of God's co-workers in the garden. They work in partnership with him, tending the garden and caring for it on God's behalf. But as we know, people want to do it their own way. They want to act for their own selfish reasons. They want to create a different sort of world, a world without God. And so God's domain and our domain become separated. And we know all about the effects of that. But the story of the Bible is one of God's plan, his great purpose to reunite heaven and earth and to re-establish his kingdom on earth. This is the ancient vision of the world put right one day. And this plan leads us all the way to Jesus. God comes to earth as a human being in Jesus and lives among us so that our domain and God's domain begin to overlap. Jesus declares that God's kingdom is starting. He teaches his followers to pray, "Your kingdom come, God. On earth, we want to do things as they're done in heaven." So what does Jesus say about caring for creation? Well, somebody asked him what the most important commandment is. And helpfully, Matthew recorded Jesus' answer. We know that Jesus said, and Matthew wrote down, that Jesus said, "You are to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbour as much as you love yourself." So let's think about loving God and what that might mean for caring for creation. Well, surely loving the Creator God is going to involve caring for his precious creation, the creation that we know he delights in and that he's given us as a special gift. So if someone we love make something beautiful and gives it to us as a gift, we don't trash it, do we? It makes sense that loving God involves loving his creation. So let's think about the creation that we love. Looking there, but not my garden, I need to take a bit better care of. But whose favorite animal is this? Ta-da. Joel. It's Joel's cat, Mimi. And then we've got, we'll keep going through these. Let's go back. There we are. Look at that. So Josh managed to get a kangaroo to pose with him there. Or maybe it was the other way around. Fantastic animal. Craig sent me that picture. See what kind of cat he likes. These are my favourite animals. We don't see them very often, but when we're on holiday in West Wales, just sometimes you see just a brief flash of the dolphins, and it's just so awe-inspiring. But I also love birds in the garden, and this black cap visits us every year. I believe that this is someone's favourite flower in their garden. Zush. And what is it? It's a camellia, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Have we got any? Oh, what? So, do we all love the seaside? We love the beach. And this is Cornwall, and that's Joel and Sally on the beach. We love the sea, don't we? We're islanders here. And then actually just this time of year is so beautiful. Just the beautiful colours of the leaves. And then we move on to love your neighbour. Well, many of us have learned a lot more about loving our neighbour during the pandemic, where we might have just been popping to the shops to get what we need for our own household. We've been more involved in caring for others and making sure that their needs are met too, and the community as a whole. But when Jesus talked about neighbours, he gave an example of a person who was different and lived in another country, from a different place. And so from that we learn that caring for our neighbours means all of our fellow human beings, paying attention to how our actions might affect the lives of people who live all over this planet. Loving our neighbour means not always making sure that we've got what we want first and foremost. First, perhaps we need to look to see what others might need and what others might need us to not do. Taking a bit more interest in how our actions might be affecting the lives of our neighbours in other parts of the world. And to love our neighbour is to be willing to make changes, to make sacrifices for their benefit, out of the love for them. So we start to think about where our food comes from and the carbon emissions that result from getting it to us. We start to think about climate change and how that affects the lives of farming families, maybe in low-income countries, where they're seeing rising sea levels, floods, and poor harvests. And there's a lot that we can learn in the building today, but Elsa has lots of information for us. So although we might be thinking about how we can make some changes on an individual level, I really believe that God wants his people to act together as a community of God, to show his love and his justice to the community around us and to the world. It's harder by ourselves anyway, isn't it? Am I the only person who goes shopping and then I stand sometimes, you know, for too long in the supermarket, in the aisle, staring at packaging, thinking about food miles and sustainability and fair trade and health and carbon emissions? And then sometimes I get home and I find I've got nothing for dinner, and then I start thinking about having a takeaway. Yeah, I'm not knocking takeaways, but so we want to act as a community. We act together as a community to learn more and to encourage each other. And in our roles as stewards of God's creation, we can sometimes start by focusing on the aspects of managing limited resources on the earth. But at harvest, it's a time where we celebrate and we thank God for his bountiful creation and his abundant provision of food. And we give thanks for it. So we've got some pictures, I think. Oh, that's another of my favourite birds. It's lovely when you see the red wings. Got another one. And there's a picture of, look at all those apples. So this is the time that we celebrate the harvest. And we remember that the earth is actually capable of producing enough food for the people who live on it. It's just that it's so unfairly managed and distributed. And this is often because we don't live our lives in the knowledge of God's abundant provision, do we? We have that anxiety that there might not be enough for us. We're supposed to make wise and just use of all that God has given us as we work joyfully with God to fulfill his purposes for the whole earth. And Jesus tells us to notice the birds and notice the wildflowers. That's to remind us not to get anxious, because God does provide a bountiful creation for us. We won't get anxious about not having enough for ourselves. Now, this reminds me of a situation about a year and a half ago. Oh. We haven't forgotten that, have we? And what we remember about it was that actually there was plenty of toilet paper in the whole country for everybody to have some. But our human tendency to hoard for ourselves because we're anxious came into sharp focus, and then some people went shopping for their loo roll and found that they probably... that wasn't what I was expecting. So some people went shopping for their toilet paper and they found the shelves empty, and presumably they had to go home and use newspaper like people did in the old days, I understand. Don't worry. I don't need another slide. But it was just a slide of empty shelves. So this brings us to talking about hope, really, because sometimes we can feel rather sad and worried about climate change, the earth, and the future. Maybe we're struggling with feelings of despair and anxiety about climate change. We might feel rather discouraged that the problem is too big. Being a follower of Jesus will lead us not only to care more about the climate, they're the empty shelves. So being a follower of Jesus leads us not only to care more, but maybe it leads us to worry less because we have more hope about the future of our planet. And our hope for the future is based in the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, because something of cosmic importance happened at Easter. The risen Jesus wasn't a disembodied spirit or a ghost. He was physical. He ate, he talked to his friends, he even cooked them breakfast in a barbecue on the beach. He was somehow different. His friends didn't recognize him at first, but he still had the scars on his hands and feet. There was no mistake. So when in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, John talks about the new heavens and the new earth, he's talking about new creation. He's letting us know, as Tim Mackey says in the Bible Project, John's letting us know that the future of the universe was embodied in the risen Jesus as he walked out of the tomb on Easter morning, a living, breathing, new creation, the same but different. Jesus has opened us up a new future for us and for all creation. This new future is the living hope of all God's creation, when heaven and earth, God's domain and our domain, will be completely reunited. Because when I was young, I was mostly taught that when Jesus comes again, we'll go to another place called heaven and leave this world behind. And it tended to make people believe that actually it wasn't that important to look after the earth, because it was all going to be destroyed anyway and we were going somewhere better. But the last few chapters of the Bible, they're not about going to heaven. They're actually about heaven coming to earth, a new earth. So God's whole creation will be healed, redeemed and restored and made new. All wrong things will be put right, and death will be replaced by life when heaven and earth reunite. So the gospel isn't just good news for individuals, it's good news for the whole of creation. This new earth will be a reborn recreation of that first garden, and God's presence will be all through it, with no exception whatsoever. And Tom Ryder, well-known theologian, he says this: our future isn't just that we'll live in this beautiful, restored world. We'll be running it on God's behalf, God's stewards, ruling with his gentle love. As kingdom people, resurrection people, we're called to anticipate that calling, to live it in the here and now, to have resurrection habits, looking after the world on God's behalf. So let's act as a community and learn more and encourage each other as fellow stewards who work for justice and for the health and the flourishing of this planet and all who live on it. Amen.